All right. It's also my pleasure to introduce our guest speaker today, Pastor Roger Crawford. Welcome back, Roger.
Oh, thank you so much for the music and the welcome. It is great to be back in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. What other better place would there be today in Cedar Rapids? And praise the Lord, Easter Sunday, Easter morning. You know, I was thinking, sitting there, thinking of the millions of Christians all over the world that's gathered today. Our brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's quite a choir, isn't it? Millions of Christians all over the world. And they're multiplying. We have new people coming into the kingdom every day, boys and girls, even in the midst of some of the hardest places and struggles. I know we have a family right now that's at our son's church in Toledo, Ohio, a family that missionaries in Haiti. And even in spite of what's going on in our world, even in spite of the trials and tribulations and the suffering and all that's going on, there are souls being won to Christ. And that's true right here in Cedar Rapids. Souls that are coming to know the Lord. And what a privilege it is to share the word of the Lord. What better thing do we have to share than the Lord and His word, His work? So today I want us to talk about Thanksgiving at Easter. Thanksgiving at Easter. You know, the Bible doesn't have a holiday called Thanksgiving. The Bible just talks about Thanksgiving and how thankful we are to be for the Lord. And today I want us to start out by looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is called the resurrection chapter. And what a better place to turn today than 1 Corinthians, the resurrection chapter, on Easter. Because that's what we're really celebrating today. And the Lord's table. Actually, it's the Lord. The Lord's body, the Lord's blood, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how wonderful the story of Easter. And thank you so much. I was planning on reading quite a bit of the Easter story in the Bible, and you already did that, Dwight. And so I'm not going to repeat it. But you know, there's Thanksgiving, and we know we're to be thankful all the time. But in this resurrection chapter, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, we find that there's a special thanks given in verse 57. And I'm sure that you're familiar with that, because it's one that comes to mind so much as we think of Thanksgiving and being thankful. And it starts out with our first thanksgiving at Easter is, thanks be to God, verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So thanksgiving at Easter is all about victory. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Victory, victory, victory. That's our battle cry. I used to hear Linda cheer that when she was a cheerleader way back long time ago. You know, our home football team, you know, we see a lot of celebration now, you know, in sports. When we have these winning teams, you know, celebrating and whatever, there's always a loser, I'm afraid. But, you know, celebrating victory is really wonderful. Having the victory. Here, thanks be to God who gives us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. And here it's explained to us in the verses before that thanks that Jesus Christ overcame death. That's why we're here today, isn't it? We see that victory in verse 54. And so this incorruptible put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Victory! You see, victory is a wonderful, wonderful blessing in life. Not to be defeated, but celebrate victory. Celebrate our salvation today. And there we see it goes back and it talks about or goes on the next verse, verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But there again, thanks be to God. So over death, over the law, not that the law is bad, but we're not under the law, we're under grace. Praise the Lord for that. And we're not saved by law, which is Paul's one of his main subjects. We're saved by grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that salvation is something we ought to thank God for. Ought to thank Him for salvation. You know, I'm really happy about going to heaven. You know? I don't like the thought of hell at all. And I don't like the thought of anyone going there. But Jesus taught about hell more than He did heaven. Someone said, "Do you believe in hell?" Well, Jesus did. Well, you know, we don't have to threat and worry about that as believers in Jesus Christ. Those that's been born again by the Spirit of God, we've been raised to new life with Christ. And that new life brings thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for Easter today. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, victory, I've started to mention about our hometown down in La Plata, Missouri. Linda was a cheerleader there. She used to cheer that victory all the time, I remember. And that didn't happen too much with our football team. You know, we celebrated when they won, which was very seldom. But boy, when they won, wow, it was wonderful. But you know, we can celebrate every day the victory of Jesus and the salvation that He has brought to us. Victory. Thanks for victory in Jesus Christ. Secondly, in this chapter, we see thanks be to God for the victory for the gospel. Because that's what it starts out talking about here in chapter 15. Before it gets into really detailed resurrection verses, we find that it talks about the gospel. The Apostle Paul, he was a proclaimer of the gospel. He was so thankful for the gospel. And here the gospel is presented. Thanksgiving for the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preach to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Amen. The gospel. The gospel is that Jesus loves us. And he loves us enough to bring the gospel to us. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Easter today. We're celebrating the gospel. This is a gospel preaching church. It's a gospel singing church. You might say it's a gospel church. And every Sunday we celebrate the gospel. We celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection. And that's especially the celebration. It all goes together, though. It's all the story, the gospel story. And that resurrection is so important. That's why Paul has practically a whole chapter here dedicated to that. That Jesus has risen from the dead. And in doing that, he has brought us victory. Victory over death. Victory over sin, the law of sin. He has brought into our lives something that we could not have otherwise. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. You know, I kind of am with the crowd today here down in Iowa City. Last year, I watched the Final Four in basketball. You know, I don't watch basketball. I don't even watch football. I don't watch sports. I mean, you know, I got enough to do. But, you know, at church, I used to hear everybody talking about it, you know, all the time, all this stuff. All these teams and people. And, but, you know, I watched that Final Four of the girls last year. The Iowa Hawkeye girls. And I was captivated by that team. I mean, I couldn't believe it. They were so good. They could even lose, and I still liked them. And even they missed shots, I still like them. But oh, man, when they win, how great that is. I was really, you know, yesterday wasn't much of a contest, was it, if you watched, with Colorado. Sorry if you're from Colorado. But they really put it on them pretty bad. But, you know, I thought about that and the victory in Jesus Christ. You know, these teams, just like this team, is led by who? Mainly the best player talked about all over the country, Kaylin Clark. And she really is something. You need to pray for that girl, because I don't know how she can hold up to all the stuff that's coming her way. But you know, if they win this next game, the Elite Eight, if they win, oh boy, is that going to be great. And then on to the Final Four, I think, but whatever. And then to the championship. But you know what? There's a question whether they're going to get there or not. Now, some people may think it's a sure thing. Ah, you know, but look out. This team before last just about had them. Where were they from? Virginia. West Virginia. Wow. So, that's life. That's sports, whatever. And it's not a sure thing. I mean, to tell you, it's not sure that our Iowa Hawkeye girls right down the road here a ways is going to win the national championship. It's not a sure thing. And if you think it is, you might get disappointed. But if they win, oh man, won't that be nice. Our little community here compared to these huge cities and everything being talked about. But you see, the victory in Jesus Christ is sure. It's a winner. And even the devil, the flesh, and whatever's thrown at him won't win. They are losers. But the winner is Jesus Christ. He has the crown. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the winner. Now, there's going to be some difficult times and bouts, and there is right now in this world. We know what it's like. And in our own lives, how difficult it can be at times, and how even temptation can come into our lives. But there's always the Lord Jesus Christ there for us. There's always victory. So when you get down or you doubt or you have a problem in life, remember that. Victory in Jesus Christ. Not in this world, not in people, not even in the best teams in the world, not even by the best leaders or the worst. But Jesus Christ is sure victory. It's sure. So, dear one, take that to heart today. Secondly, the gospel is sure. The death, burial, and resurrection. And then, thirdly, the work of the Lord is sure. That work is going on. And Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. There's nothing in this world stronger than the Lord. And he said, even the devil and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. How wonderful to have that thanksgiving. There in the last verse, verse 58 of that chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, therefore, my beloved brethren, there you are. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Lord knows all about it. He sees it. He guides us. He helps us. The work of the Lord. You know, the work of this church is so important. It's more important than you. It's more important than me. It's the Lord's. Now, we make it up and we make a difference in it, no doubt. But God is the one that's in charge. Through the head of the church, Jesus Christ. And so as we labor for him, and as we pray, and as we give ourselves to the work of the Lord, it's not in vain. That vain means empty. It's not empty. You know, I thought of things, what's empty in life? Well, I thought, you know, how many cars have I had? Or we, Linda? I don't even want to try to count them. Too many. How many houses have we had, Linda, and lived in? Too many. How many material things in life have we had? A lot. But it will pass away. It'll be gone. I remember the first new car that I ever bought. It was white. It was an older Mercury. And it was white, and it had a red pinstripe right down the side of it. Oh, it was beautiful. Boy, the car used to sit down the driveway, and I'd look at it, and I'd think, wow, isn't that thing beautiful? Wow. And then one day something happened. I don't know why this happened exactly. The builders ought to done a better job. But you know what happened? One day, under one of those fenders, came rust. There was rust. And you know what? That car's long gone, and I'm sure it's in a junkyard somewhere. But that's this world. It's passing away so fast. So what's the greatest thing you can do in the world? You know, I do this on our website all the time. I talk about it. I said, the best thing you Christians can do, even if you're old, is serve the Lord. Whether you're young or you're old, the best thing you can do in life is to minister. And God will give you the grace and the help to do that. He'll give you the ability to do that. Now, I didn't believe that years ago, and I don't have the ability, and I didn't have it. But it's God that gives us the ability as we yield to Him to teach that Sunday school class or to do whatever. Thanksgiving at Easter for victory in Jesus Christ, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the church of Jesus Christ, and then lastly, which will tie into our communion, and that is the victory, the gospel, His church. And you go back in chapter 15 and you see something that is still true today, which makes such a difference, back in verse 5. And that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as one who is born in due time. So, the bottom line today, the last point, you've been singing about it, talking about it. He's alive! He was alive after the grave, after the cross, after the grave. He arose. And it brought victory, brought the gospel, it brought the church, and it brought a new life for this sinner. You know, one of our ministries is writing life stories, and I've written a lot. People are kind of probably sick of them on Facebook. But I've written a lot of life stories. I can't help it. I just keep thinking of them. And I write them because every one of them gives honor and glory to God. Because this terrible sinner that was addicted to alcohol at 17 years old, this terrible sinner that had no mind for Christ at all for too many years got saved. Got a new life. Linda got a new husband. Isn't that wonderful? I think it is. I think it's great because it happened to me. And dear one, I hope and pray and trust it's happened to you. Because in that new life in Christ, that living Christ that's alive, we have victory. We have the gospel. We have the church. And we have each other. Right? You know, I always say one of the greatest benefits of the church are the people, believers in Jesus Christ. There's nothing, not a better group you could be part of. So, dear one, today as we come to this communion table, we want to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what he did for us in dying on the cross, shedding his precious blood, and then going to the grave, but he's alive. He has risen. And all of that's included today in these symbols that we take as Christians. He's alive. Wow. So today we're going to celebrate the life of Jesus Christ by remembering him. And if you turn back in 1 Corinthians, you'll see that. Not chapter 15, but chapter 11, where we have the communion here gathered in the upper room. Thank you, men. I want us, first of all, to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for what he tells us to thank him for. And you know, Jesus gave thanks. The Son of God, he gave thanks. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said. So let's distribute the bread, and then we'll take, eat, and remember the Lord Jesus' body. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this bread, that it symbolizes the broken and bruised body of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray as we partake of it that we would remember what he's done for us, and that we will thank you, praise you, and live our lives for you. Help us to examine our lives as we partake of the bread. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you'd take of the bread here, and Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." That night, also there in the upper room, they remembered not only the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ, but remembered the shed blood that he wanted them to remember as he would go to the cross and give his life, give his blood for our sins. Thanks be to God. So symbolizing here, the Lord Jesus said, "This cup, drink in remembrance of me." Well, folks, I want to thank you for allowing Linda and me to come today and to share in communion with you. Communion means we're together. We're together in the Lord. Celebrate. This is Easter. Amen. Easter. Remember, there's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ over sin, death, the law. Remember, there's victory in the gospel, in the church, in his body. He's alive. He's alive. He has risen. He has risen indeed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this glorious day here at Blair Ridge Baptist Church with these dear folks. It's been so good to be together. Lord, there's not a better place to be. And we are so thankful for what you have given to us in your Son, the Lord Jesus. And I pray we would go forth from here celebrating this Easter day. And Lord, we would remember too, if there would be someone here that needs to pray with someone here in the church that knows you, needs to pray or find some help in their lives, we pray they would seek out someone today. In Jesus' name, amen.